Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That is Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. This is how we start the show today. Blah. That's how I feel. And I didn't think I would be this fired up, this jacked up, when it came to this Four Nations final and this Four Nations kind of tournament and the entire thing that happened the last 10 days or so, because it was new, right? And whenever you introduce something new in the sports world, a lot of times it's gimmicky. And, right, we're rooted in our traditions, whether it's the Olympics or other world tournaments. So you go, okay, the NHL is creating this Four Nations face-off, and we'll see what happens when you look at the Four Nations that are competing. And for us here in America, I think instantly, once when Thursday night did occur, if you were on the fence, that's when everyone really got all in on this. And I know there was other games played with our nation and then other nations as well before that, but Thursday night, I think it was really like the bat signal, the Batman signal that was thrown up into the air. Because if you weren't planning on watching on Saturday night, I should say, if you weren't planning on watching on that Saturday night, the moment that you started to see the reaction on social media, 5 minutes right after the game started, when you had three fights in the first like 9 seconds or whatever it was, and you find out those Canadians were booing during our national anthem, it made you want to tune in. And hockey delivered. And it was awesome seeing the USA defeat Canada, right? And the pretentious folks from Canada with their hockey. And I love you folks from Canada, but you can't be pretentious with your hockey. So when you had that on Saturday, and the US did defeat Canada at their own game, it was a moment of elation. It was a moment of exuberance. And let's be honest, we all danced on the grave of hockey in Canada that night. And then once you settled down, it was like, oh, you could still see them. And you could still see them again on Thursday night, as long as they won their next game. Our next game was irrelevant because we were already in the championship game, and you knew that you were going to be playing on Thursday night. And then Canada wins, and it's okay. You have the rematch, Canada, USA. And I said it yesterday on the show. I did not feel good about this game. I thought it was going to be competitive. I thought it was going to be close. But ultimately, I thought Canada was going to win. Because to beat Canada twice in such a short time is such a tall task to ask for. Now, they had every opportunity. They had every moment in overtime. Austin Matthews had not one, not two, but three chances in overtime to go give the U.S. this moment of joy. Two victories spanning from Saturday all the way through Thursday. And yes, you would have had some then Canadian folks who would have poo-pooed it. Oh, you know, what does this really mean? It's a Fugazi Four Nations face-off. We'll see you for the Olympics, right? And one of my friends who used to work for the NHL, I texted him and I was texting with him throughout the game and then also after the game. And the moment the game ended, this was the text that he sent to me. I sent him a four-letter word. You could imagine what that four-letter word was. Once you saw Connor McDavid, yuck, score the game-winning goal. And you know what? If you can't figure out the four-letter word, it rhymes with yuck, okay? And right away, my buddy texted me, Olympics. and 350 days. The countdown is on. And this does set the stage. Now, would it have been better? Would it have been awesome for the U.S. to win last night twice, that you get the job done from Saturday through Thursday? Absolutely. It would have been awesome. But I think my biggest takeaway from this is I'm actually shocked, even being a hockey guy, right? You have a lot of people, and I welcome people, parachute in. I want the more eyeballs on the sport of hockey. You know, there's some that are very protective about their hockey, and they're like, oh, well, you don't usually watch hockey. You don't like hockey, so don't jump. No, no, no. Hockey is a small fish in a large pond. And I'm okay with saying that. And I'm someone that pays God knows how much money each and every year to go watch my Rangers play. And I always love bringing hockey guests on the show when the time is right. But when you do conduct a national radio program and you know what the masses find interesting, unfortunately, we don't talk a lot of hockey here. Now, when we do it as good as any show can, right in the national landscape with the big national media companies. You know, we'll get on Pete DeBoer, the head coach of the Stars. We'll get on players from around the league. We'll bring on an owner like Vinny Viola from the Florida Panthers. Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, has been on the show. We had Jeremy Roenick on yesterday. So when there is an avenue to walk down and talk hockey, I like to take the opportunity because I love the game. But just because I love the game doesn't mean the majority of our audience does love the game. But what made this so unique and so special, something that is really an exhibition. Like, you could sit there and say, oh, it means nothing because it's not rooted in your traditions of the Olympics and other big world events. But this was something that was created. This was something that, I'm going to be honest, I thought at first I would have zero interest in. But once you see your country with the NHL's best compete against others' countries, it's must-watch TV. Because here's what I know from hockey players. And I've dealt with athletes in football, basketball, baseball, and hockey. This is no disrespect to the other sports, but by far and away, the easiest athletes to deal with are hockey players. They're so respectful, they tell you good stories, and they also appreciate being on. You know, if I had to rank them, I would say hockey players are the easiest to deal with, then actually football players. And then it's a toss-up between the NBA and Major League Baseball. Now, Major League Baseball players, I give a little bit of a pass to because there's 162 games. And they make you talk to the media before the game and after the game. I think there's too much media availability in Major League Baseball, and they don't do a great job marketing their stars. But here's what you see from hockey players. Could you imagine the NBA creating an exhibition like this and having the NBA players go this hard? I couldn't see it. But that's like the different wire of the hockey players. They're throwing gloves, fisticuffs. They're beating the crap out of each other, and they got to go back to play hockey tomorrow. You have guys that are injured in this tournament. But when you're competing for the pride of your country and you have guys just kind of like a shotgun marriage with whatever country you're associated with. You come together rather quickly. You got 10 to 14 days, and you're competing. This thing took off real quick. And this thing took off greater than I could have ever expected. Even as a hockey guy, I didn't think I was going to be interested in this Four Nations. But really, what triggered it to be explosive and awesome and generate people that aren't even hockey fans caring and watching last night and watching the last few days was that great moment on Saturday night when the U.S. beat Canada. And you know what? Maybe it is a little personal for me, I will admit. Because as someone, right, the one sport my dad and I really bond over, it's hockey. You know, that's the one sport my dad and my Uncle Kenny, we are nuts about, where the three of us share, right, the same love for our New York Rangers. And really, like, all hockey. 2 weeks ago, I'm home. I don't know what women's tournament was being played. My dad's watching women's hockey, and he's screaming at the television. So, like, that's just something where, like, we all go back to our younger days. Because, right, my dad showed me how to love hockey. My dad as a kid loved hockey. His older brother loved hockey as well. And it's something that we just all share a bond over. and we're always texting, and it's grown from just the Rangers to now United States is playing, we're texting. Or anytime there's like a big hockey moment, we're texting. So it's a cool, neat bond. It really is. And my dad, right, I remember watching 2002 when the U.S. went up against Canada in the gold medal game, and we lost. I remember in 2010 when Parisi scores the goal at the end of regulation, right at the end of regulation, and then that some old bitch in Sidney Crosby nets the game winner in overtime. So, yes, you could say, oh, it's a gimmick. Yeah, it's just an exhibition, but it worked. It worked. Even if it only is momentum that lasts for a week, this is something. I'm not saying it should happen every year. I know the Olympics are next year, but every few years, right, it's every 4 years to the Olympics, like smack in the middle of it should be the Four Nations. So it's like you go Olympics, 2 years, Four Nations, and then 2 years after that, you go back to the Olympics or something like that. But you look at just in the span of this week, the NBA All-Star Game and the All-Star festivities were horrible. Absolutely dreadful, absolutely horrible. And when you have players that want to be out there and just compete and just come together as a team, it makes it really special. And also, I love Gary Bettman, right, when he comes on this show. I know he's not been the most popular person in the world, but the last few years, I think he's done a wonderful job with the sport. And it's an uphill climb for hockey. But the two Olympics prior, we didn't send NHLers to compete in the Winter Olympics. And that was unfortunate. So I think also this getting helped out and aided by the fact that we haven't really seen the NHLers on the national stage, this kind of made this so popular. And it was a tremendous moment last night for the sport of hockey. Now, I'm not going to be naive. I'm going to shoot it to you straight. Where do I think that this is going to increase the popularity of hockey in America? And now more people are going to be watching the NHL than ever before. And we're going to see all the people that parachuted in last night continuing to watch the sport? Probably not. I've seen this before. Whether it was TJ Oshie in the Olympics, you know, that great run also in 2010, the great run in 2002. You know, I'm not even going back to 1980, right? But we've seen moments before where hockey in the United States, whether you win or lose, has been front and center. And there's been a week where it could take over, 2 weeks, it could take over the sports world. And then I know what usually happens here. What usually happens is people that were all in, right? The P1 hockey fans, the P2 hockey fans, right? However you want to classify yourself. Those guys are always going to watch. Those guys and gals are always going to watch. But the people that just jumped on the bandwagon, which we welcome you and we hope you stay, you'll come back for the Stanley Cup playoffs. And probably not the first round, probably not the second round, probably for the conference finals. And then you'll come back the next time, right, 350 days from now, when the U.S. is on the big stage in the Olympics. And that's okay. Now, I love a world where hockey becomes more popular, especially here in America, because the athletes that we have in the sport of hockey in America as a whole are as good as they've ever been. And American hockey is in a great spot. But just saying the actual game is in a great spot, and then how many more eyeballs we'll see in the future is a different conversation. So I give credit to the NHL. And I give credit for all involved for coming up with this Four Nations. I thought it was excellent. Now, when you get to the game last night, few things from it. Canada gets the job done. I thought Jeremy Roenick hit the nail on the head yesterday. Where as cool as this would have been for us in America to be like, hey, Canadians, na-na-na-na-na, we're your daddy. Like, all that stuff. It would have been awesome. Like, this is our sport now. I am the captain now. That would have been awesome. But that game, since they did lose on Saturday, was more important to Canada on Thursday. Because the gap used to be the Canadians were all the way up here, and then the Americans were all the way down here when it did come to hockey. Now, America is rising and rising and rising and rising and rising. And there's been other moments where U.S. has beat Canada, but not in like a moment like this, right? Not in the Olympics. You know, I know you have like World Juniors, all that other stuff that, you know, even I get confused with. But the hockey in America has been rising. And on Saturday, you saw, oh, we beat Canada. So for a moment, it was like, you're up, you're past them. But then Canada said, yeah, we're going to just rise just above you one more time. And until we beat Canada in a huge spot, and not just on a Saturday, but then you get it with the medal or whatever is on the line, that's what the U.S. needs to do. Because they have closed the gap significantly. If you want to move past them, though, you have to find a way to win a game like last night. And then either, you know, obviously they didn't. So now when you play them in the Olympics, you got to beat them when a medal is on the line. The other two takes here, Austin Matthews failed in overtime. You know, I know he plays for the Toronto Maple Leafs. So Austin Matthews is an incredible player. And I got tweets last night, and you just see people that don't know what they're talking about. Why is Austin Matthews on Team USA? Well, like, because he's one of the best players in the NHL, you dopes. He was horrible, though, in overtime. He had three chances. Three. And I get it, Binnington, give him credit all the world for making those saves. Right? That's Jordan Binnington. When he's counted out, he finds a way to play his best. Just look at what he did with the Blues when they won that championship. But you know the Toronto Maple Leafs are a bunch of chokers. You know they don't get the job done in the big moment. And they have an all-star team pretty much. And Austin Matthews, ironically, going up against Canada, displayed his inner Toronto Maple Leafs on the big stage last night because he had not one, not two, but three chances. Three chances to put the biscuit in the basket. And Binnington was like, no, no, not happening. And if you watch hockey, you know it. When a team dominates in the extra session, and when it's sudden death and you're dominating, and that's what the USA was doing. They were dominating Canada in the extra session. After the first one missed, I said to my friend that I texted, I go, the U.S. better score in the next 5 minutes. Because if they don't, they're going to lose this game. And as you get to see, you had another opportunity by Matthews, denied. Another opportunity by Matthews, denied. And then Connor McDavid, wide open, bang, that's it. Right? McJesus, as they do call him. And he's the preeminent player in the sport for you that are not all that up to date in terms of hockey and just parachuting in. But that was extra painful. And I know people could say, oh, it doesn't really matter. Like, what is this worth? You know, who cares? It just got created, you know, this year. I'm sorry, folks. That McDavid moment was painful last night. There's moments in sports where when your team loses, you just sit up afterwards and, like, you don't leave the couch. Like, I was on my couch for 90 minutes after the game, and it was like a blank stare. And I didn't feel as if I would have that much passion for this tournament and also for this championship game. And McDavid, in 2025, it felt like Sidney Crosby, that son of a bitch, all over again in 2010. And I know Crosby's on the team, but that's him last night passing the torch to Connor McDavid. The great reign of Sidney Crosby, and now we have the great reign of Connor McDavid. And really, you know, you look at Connor McDavid, he's got to go win a Stanley Cup. He almost came close last year to doing an improbable comeback before you did see the Florida Panthers prevail. So it did feel a lot like 2010. I know some people be like, Zach, that's too much. It was the Olympics. It was the gold medal game. We haven't had that feeling in a long time. We haven't. And that's what it felt like last night. So begrudgingly, congratulations to Canada. It was a great last week and a half, 2 weeks, whatever you want to say for hockey. And I hope momentum can continue, especially here in the United States, because the players deserve it. The players are awesome. It would have been better if they would have won last night. But I know how this usually works, right? The top hockey fans, all of us, we're going to continue to watch. Stu's going to continue to go to his Devil games. I'll continue to go to my Rangers games. You know, I got tickets coming up 2 Mondays from now to go see the Rangers play at Madison Square Garden. You know, but for most of you that parachuted in, you're going to now parachute out, and you'll parachute back in later on the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then next year, when you do have the Olympics. But remember the effort, remember the passion, remember how fun it is, and I think if you give hockey more of a chance and more of an opportunity, you'll continue to see that even though the athletes in hockey and the culture in hockey doesn't get as much publicity as it should, and the players don't make nearly as much money as what you see from Major League Baseball players, NFL players, and NBA players, but no players are more joyful to deal with, and no players try harder than hockey players. And they come together, and it's not about individuals. It's truly about being a team. And you saw that with Team USA and also Team Canada. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break talking about individuals. Can Aaron Rodgers get shut out of this upcoming offseason? Is Ty done right when he made a prediction yesterday with us from GoLongTD.com that he believes Aaron Rodgers is about to get the Bill Belichick treatment? We'll get to that on the other side.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
You know, I never thought about it until yesterday. And I also never thought about it with Bill Belichick until it happened, where we talk about, oh, where is Bill Belichick going to land right after the Patriots move off of him? He got shut out. Falcons were also cowards about it and didn't make the right hire, but that's a possibility. Right? You only need one team to say yes, but you don't always get one team to say yes. So for most of this year, we've talked about with Aaron Rodgers, are the Jets going to bring him back? And if not, is he A, going to retire? Or B, is he going to go somewhere else? And I don't think anyone has brought up the possibility about Aaron Rodgers getting the Bill Belichick treatment until I heard it from Ty Dunn yesterday, right here on a very fine national radio program called the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And this is the first time I've heard it. This is Ty Dunn bringing up the possibility of him actually thinking that Aaron Rodgers is going to get the hoodie treatment. Listen up.
I think this is Bill Belichick in quarterback form. I think that he probably wants to play, wants to start, wants to make money, and I'll be surprised if a team gives him that opportunity. I don't know how a GM, a head coach, hell, an owner can see what happened in Green Bay, can see what happened with the New York Jets, and allow Aaron Rodgers to nuke your building in the same form and fashion. Is he really going to want to start for a team at quarterback and just play quarterback? I would be shocked if that's the case for somebody that we've seen the same storyline play out again and again and again. It's bringing the buddies, whether they're coaches, whether they're players. It's pseudo GM, assistant GM, assistant to the assistant GM, Dwight Schrute-esque. I mean, it's so obvious at this point. It was on full public display. Even though there are a lot of options out there at quarterback via trade, free agency, the draft, I don't know why any team would do it. Maybe there's a desperate owner out there, but Woody Johnson, not one of the best owners, to put it mildly. So he was duped. The Jets were duped. I don't know who will get duped again.
So the only thing I'll say, and I love Ty, the whole nuclear building and then an owner getting duped, I think it could be a little bit of a strong stance. If you look at the specifics, so Aaron Rodgers, who I've reported on this before, right? This was my story. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is a choir boy. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is getting, you know, should get no blame and be exonerated of all blame. Because I remember when Aaron Rodgers was in Green Bay, Matt LaFleur wanted to give him more input in the roster in terms of, excuse me, the game plan, I should say. He wanted to give him more input in the game plan. And LaFleur was scheduled meetings with Rodgers, let's just say on like Mondays or Tuesdays, whatever it was, coming in, we're going to implement the game plan, and we're going to give you a lot of input and say. And Aaron Rodgers would show up to some of them, and then other weeks he would just keep Matt LaFleur sitting there twiddling his thumbs, and Matt LaFleur eventually realized, okay, Aaron's playing us and he's not coming. So I'm not saying that's a healthy culture, but when you use the word like nuke your building, right, and you dupe, right, the New York Jets, well, if you look back at Green Bay, I'm not saying it was all roses and it was all lovely, lovey and lovey-dovey, but ever since they drafted Jordan Love, yeah, they still got to a conference championship game. They were 13-3. They still got to a divisional round. They were 13-4. And then the carpet kind of got pulled from underneath them. The house came collapsing down. And that was the year of reckoning in 2022 when Aaron wasn't healthy. And still, the low point was them losing the last game of the season, not making the playoffs where they lose to the Detroit Lions, and they finished that year 8-9. And you look at it since, have the Packers recovered? Yes. Have the Packers been back to a conference championship game? No. And really, in 2023, I think it was a little too much, what's the word, glazing the Green Bay Packers, as the kids would say. Because you look back at the Packers, for the first half of that season in 2023, there were questions about Jordan Love, and there were questions about Matt LaFleur. And then down the stretch, the team got hot. They finished with a 9-8 record. And then in the postseason, that's when it really started to show that they could survive without Aaron Rodgers. Because not only did they make the playoffs, but then they walk into Dallas, up a can of whoop-ass on the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. And then the next week, unfortunately, they lost to the San Francisco 49ers. And this past year, they were expected to take that next step, right? Return to being in contention like you were with Aaron Rodgers. And you could look at the record and you could say, oh, they went 11-6. They won double-digit games. Oh, they improved from 9 wins a year before to 11 games. But they lost to the opening round of the playoffs, albeit to the eventual Super Bowl champions in the Philadelphia Eagles. And now I do think the Packers need to add a legitimate number one wide receiver. I do. But you look at what Aaron Rodgers did in Green Bay. You know, he is going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. He won a Super Bowl championship. Yes, he never got back to another one, which is crazy. He was never, you know, never won another championship, which is still nuts. Not even just get into another Super Bowl is kind of bizarre with how many times he was there. And was it ugly? Were there icy stares at the end? Was Rodgers at times being petulant? Absolutely. But remember, Green Bay drafted Jordan Love. They knew there was going to be some friction. It wasn't as bad as when, right, Rodgers got drafted and Favre was there. But they knew there was going to be some icy moments, and they still allowed that to go on for 3 years. So I think considering the situation and the circumstance, if the nuking the building was in regards to what happened in Green Bay, that I don't agree with. Now, when you get to the Jets, I think we need to also be fair here. Does Aaron sometimes play the role of the victim? Absolutely. Like Aaron Rodgers saying, we need to eliminate the distractions. We need to eliminate the leaks. And, you know, he has every right to go on Pat McAfee, right? No problem with it, but that is a distraction, right? Aaron Rodgers says things that are distracting. And I have no problem with Aaron Rodgers basically demanding the Jets to go get Davante Adams, but let's call a spade a spade. When you were with the Jets, you were basically the GM, the owner, the president of football operations, and the head coach. And I know at the end, right, Woody Johnson is a meddling owner. And at first I thought Aaron Rodgers got Robert Saleh out, but that was Woody working independently. But let's not act as if Aaron Rodgers had zero input, and Aaron Rodgers should act like he didn't have zero input with the Jets. But this idea that like the Jets got duped by Aaron Rodgers, I just don't agree with. Because if he didn't get hurt in year one, I don't know what happens. I really don't. Now, are there certain things that Aaron Rodgers does when he's in charge that you may not like? Absolutely. But you knew what you were getting into. So I think what teams now need to determine is the juice worth the squeeze with Aaron Rodgers. Because I don't think it's as bad as what people make it out to be. But Aaron Rodgers that we're accustomed to is far away from the Aaron Rodgers. Like when you have the Aaron Rodgers sycophants that go into my DMs and they're like, ooh, look how Aaron Rodgers played in the final 10 games of the season. Yeah, he was good. But he has a standard usually of greatness. And he didn't reach that greatness. We haven't seen that great version of Aaron Rodgers in, let's call a spade, the last 3 years. And he's getting up there in age. Not everyone could be Tom Brady when you age like fine wine and you just keep on getting better and better and better and you keep on winning and winning and winning. It doesn't happen. But Bill Belichick got shut out. And I think a lot of that was because of personality and, right, people being afraid to bring in Bill because of what happens when you bring in Bill Belichick into an organization and it's his way or the highway. And for Aaron Rodgers, it is similar in that regard, whether he wants to admit it or not. So I'll give Ty credit, even though I will disagree a little bit with the nuking of the building stuff that he said, and then also the Jets getting duped. You know, I don't think it's now a crazy thought, and I give credit to Ty because I never thought about it this way, where teams are going to look at Aaron and be like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I'd rather not hitch my wagon to him and lose control of my organization for a year or two. So you look at the potential destinations. It's no one in the AFC East. AFC West, maybe the Raiders. You know, Pete Carroll, is that what you want to do? You got probably 3 years, you know, in the NFL left. Do you want to go with an Aaron Rodgers? That's a question. You know, you look at the AFC North. Kevin Stefanski, your last life raft, right? I don't think he should be fired, but you know how this works. Even for a two-time coach of the year, you start, you know, miss the playoffs this year, 3-14. I know they made the playoffs last year. You don't have a quarterback. You know, would you rather go with a Kirk Cousins, right? Who's good. And there's going to be less drama with Kirk, but Kirk's coming off a massive injury. You know, Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh is the best destination. But as Herm Edwards questioned with us, you know, can Aaron Rodgers coexist with the Rooney family and Mike Tomlin? You know, you look at the AFC South, Tennessee seems pointless, but if Aaron only wants to play for another year, do you pass on a quarterback this year, have the quarterback sit, and you have Aaron Rodgers play for a year? But, like, what are you really going to accomplish? You know, you look at the Indianapolis Colts. That one would actually be fun, but I don't think they're moving off of Anthony Richardson just yet, even though I don't think Anthony Richardson's going to be a franchise quarterback. To me, he's a social media quarterback. The Giants, is that Joe Shane what you want to do? 1 year? I think the Giants are getting a quarterback third overall. So you go through this, there's not that many destinations. Could it be the Saints? You know, if they get rid of Derek Carr, do they bring in Aaron Rodgers? So there's not a lot of destinations. And the first two teams to look at and really monitor are the Steelers and the Raiders. And if both of them say no, that's when you could potentially see Rodgers getting shut out. Because I don't think the Niners are opening up. I think Brock Purdy's going to be there. I don't think the Seahawks are moving off of Geno Smith to bring in Aaron Rodgers. You know, the Rams, right? We talked about that possibility, but you need the Stafford domino to fall first, and you need Stafford to get out, and let's see if that actually happens. Because the Rams would be a good destination for Aaron. I don't know if McVay would be interested in it. So you go through it. If, let's say, the Rams keep Stafford, the Raiders go, yeah, maybe we'll sign Sam Darnold, right? That's a possibility. And then the Steelers go, you know what? We're going to keep either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. If that happens, Aaron, are you going to be begging the Browns? Are you going to be begging Tennessee to go play football? So even though I never thought about it, that, hey, Aaron Rodgers gets shut out like Bill Belichick did, I do think it's on the table. I still anticipate Rodgers landing somewhere because, right, a head coach is different than a quarterback. Teams always take the risk on the quarterback, right? Even an aging quarterback, especially with someone that has the capabilities of playing at the level that Aaron Rodgers does. And there's ways to justify that's what's happened the last 3 years. Injuries, right? Rust, things like that. But ultimately, Ty Dunn's idea and what he said with this yesterday, I'm not going to say that it has no chance of happening. Because there is a chance that Rodgers gets shut out. And can you imagine, right? You look at the quarterbacks. Brady, right, walked away. Drew Brees, injured, walked away. Big Ben, right? Body wasn't the same, walked away. Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl, injured, walked away. You know, if Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Big Ben, Drew Brees, if they wanted to keep on playing and they wanted to go somewhere else, someone would have said, yeah, we're interested. But that would be a terrible look for Rodgers, who still probably wants to play, it feels like. If he then says, my services are available, and everybody passes, that would be a really ugly and sad and humiliating ending for one Aaron Rodgers. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Is Micah Parsons podcasting becoming a problem? Because a lot of former players think so. I will defend Micah Parsons when we come on back. Update time first. Here's Zach. And it's time to ask the pros. Read the listener gets to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sports Center at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts are your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, either Lawrence Taylor or Reggie White. That's the answer. Who's the greatest defensive player that the game has ever seen? If you ask 10 people, you will get only two answers. Lawrence Taylor or Reggie White? Here is the great Lawrence Taylor on Micah Parsons. Listen up.
I don't think that anyone should be compared to you until they've been away from the game at least 20 years and still talk about it.
That sounds good, too. But, you know, and I guess you're talking about Michael Parsons. He's a great player. But, guys, let's play more football and less podcasts, okay?
Yeah.
You know?
So that's Lawrence Taylor on OutKick. I hear a comment like that, and it's funny to me because I know Lawrence Taylor doesn't play football anymore, but he's telling someone pretty much on a show, on a podcast, more football, less podcasting. So I just find that ironic. But the older guard is not too fond of Micah Parsons. You know, even Warren Sapp, and I know, right, he's not like old guard, but he was, for whatever reason, trashing Micah Parsons on this radio show. Where you may not like him, but when Warren Sapp takes it to the level, like at least LT goes, hey, he's a good football player, but, you know, more football, less podcasting. Warren Sapp, who never shuts up regardless, I don't know what the reason is why he can't stand Micah Parsons. So I think you need to realize in the year of 2025, this is not how it traditionally did go when the only media coverage was people like me on a radio show, people hosting TV shows, the typical beat reporter that walks into the locker room and is there, you know, as a scribe each and every day. Players have platforms now. And can player platforms be good? Yes. Can some player platforms, can they be bad? Sure. Like players that think, oh, just because they have a platform, there's no use for the media anymore. That's ridiculous. Because the player platforms are always going to have a certain agenda. It's just a matter of the truth. And I look at, right, even what we do, we have an agenda as time as well. I'm not going to pretend as if we don't have agendas. But there's more checks and balances and more truth in a traditional radio show, a traditional TV show, than player podcasts. And there's a lot of great player podcasts, but it's just different forms of media. But also, right, just like how I'm not going into the NFL and I'm going to be able to go get 10 sacks in a season, there's also a lot of players that think they're good at this and they're not, right? And then there's some that are very good. I think Micah Parsons is a tremendous football player, and he's also a tremendous podcaster. He could do both. Micah Parsons is entertaining. Micah Parsons gets a reaction out of you. Now, will there be some people that go, oh, it's a distraction and it takes away from his team? Sure. But look at the organization that he's in. He's in an organization in Dallas where the owner, Jerry Jones, does weekly radio shows. And also runs his organization not off wins and losses, but off of how much drama they could stir up. So if Jerry Jones is allowed to pop on and be the only owner that I know of in the NFL and probably in any sport that pops on a radio show in Dallas every week, Micah Parsons can't do a podcast? And don't tell me that Micah Parsons podcasting takes away from his football career. And I may have thought it from time to time, but when you adapt and you actually use your cabeza, you know, Micah Parsons had 52 and a half sacks in the last 4 years. 4 years in the NFL, he's played in 63 games. He has 52 and a half sacks. And Mina Kimes put this up yesterday. Over the last two seasons, Micah Parsons ranks first in pressure rate, first in pass rush win rate, and first in double team rate. So is the podcasting really derailing the career of Micah Parsons? He's not reaching his full potential because of the podcasting? Of course not. But Micah Parsons on social media yesterday on Twitter, he said, LOL, I guess this was the reaction from the LT interview. He said, LOL, I wonder, do people hate my podcast because it's actually good, or do people hate it because it's bad? Because hella people in the NBA and NFL have podcasts and no one has a problem. I'll tell Micah Parsons what the answer is. People hate your podcast because you're polarizing, right? Which means that your podcast is good, right? And I say this all the time. You know, when people ask me, like, what I do for work and, like, how do you manage when people attack you and things like that, I go, I want 50% of the listening audience to love me, and I want 50% of the listening audience to hate me. And quite frankly, the people that hate you, in a weird way, they love you because they're listening. Like, if you tune into this show, and I'll get those messages and things like that and whatever. Oh, I hate you. You're the worst. You should be fired. The show's not going to last more than a year. You're an idiot. Hot take, jackass. But you still know everything I say. So I thank those people. Hi, how you doing? I'm Zach Gelb. And I welcome you because I love people that hate listen or hate watch. Because whether you want to admit it or not, and you could hate my guts and you could call me every curse word and every bad word in the book, if you're tuning in every day, or if you're tuning in weekly, even if you say you hate us, you have to like us in some regards. And that's sometimes what the athlete struggles to understand. When you look at a Micah Parsons, he's getting all this blowback. Well, Micah, if you stop doing the podcast, you know how many messages you would get from people that tweet you, oh, I hate your guts? Oh, I miss the podcast. I say this all the time. There have been radio shows that have been canceled. And while they're on the air, people are like, worst show ever, hate it, terrible, awful. And then they get canceled, and people go, what's management doing? They're a bunch of dopes. So it's part of the territory. And you also have to understand what social media is. There is a large portion of people on social media that are trolls, that are anonymous, and they're just trying to get a rise out of you. So Micah Parsons, I would say keep on doing your podcast. But also you got to know that it's a low-hanging fruit. If you don't have a good game, or if your team loses, whether it's your fault or not, what are people going to say? Because it's different and it's new. They're going to say, oh, Micah Parsons, you should be more focused on football. You shouldn't be doing the podcasting. As if he didn't do the podcast, it would be football 24/7. This guy's dedicated to his craft. This guy puts in the work. It's not always going to work in terms of winning on the football field, but 4 years in the league, 52 and a half sacks. That's pretty good, if you ask me. And I just think you need to realize that there's going to be people that always associate you with ridiculous things. And us fans don't understand that you have a life outside of football. And if you want a podcast, you have the time to be able to podcast. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. PFF Top 101 Reaction. Next!
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.